The Midah Hashlishis here in Perek Beis, Daf Lamed Gimel, in the standard Talmud Devarim that we have. As far as the Hemshech of the Midah Hashniya that we concluded last week, or we're just about to conclude it, let's just focus again that the emphasis of the Midah Hashniya, again, which is another step in the process of being Mekayim V'Holachto B'Drochov. So that was referring to, if you remember, the first few lines, as he says here in the Midah Hashniya, that Machshavtoi Tidme LeMachsheves HaKeser, that a person's thoughts should emulate the thought process of Keser. Keser, of course, means the thought process of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And it means we should also try to emulate our thoughts in the same way as it were HaKodesh Baruch Hu's thoughts. And that means that basically we should try as much as possible only to think good thoughts, and we should not allow any foreign or irrelevant thoughts to enter one's mind, and if it does, which always would happen, we try not to allow it to dwell. We don't allow those machshavas to control us. But that is the avodah of the personal component in the Midah Hashniya, that a person's mind should always be connected with pure thoughts, either in Torah, either in the greatness of Hashem, and so on, as the Talmud Devarim pointed out. We have to understand that in the world of Avodas Hashem, Machshava plays a major role. This is not just a mila, or some sort of like added type of praise that someone would get because his Machshavas are also pure. But Bem's Machshava is very essential in anyone's Avoda or Madregin Kedusha. If one's machshavas really are not pure machshavas, then his whole avodah is tainted. That does not mean, it never means that a person will never have any machshavas rois. That's not what it means. As we'll soon point out from various sources, it would happen all the time. The question is, what do we do about it? These are challenges and these are nisyonis that we have to try to work, and therefore to get rid of those machshavas, or prevention, which that is keeping our minds occupied with the right things, namely in Torah and Avodas Hashem, which these are pure thoughts. Not only, by the way, as all the Sefer Musa bring, you know, it's not possible for a person to think of two things at the same time. So invariably, if you're going to be thinking about something else, then you will not have the impure thought. But even more so, if that other thing is Torah, so it's not just you're thinking about something else, but it's also something which is very, very pure. So you have that additional mila to be able to have the ammunition in order to be able to be mevatel foreign machshavas and machshavas that are impure. As a matter of fact, one of the great Balei Musar, Rabbi Yosef Yoizel, once pointed out that some people, he says, allow their minds to be, he calls it, a free hotel. Some people, says Rabbi Yosef Yoizel, allow their minds to be a free hotel, open to anyone who wishes can dump his trashy thoughts there. This is the idea. This is the way, unfortunately, most people do lead their lives. And therefore, we're going to find out a little bit more about the role of machshava in one's life in Avodas Hashem. Let me just also point out that when we talk about the role of machshava, it's not just the idea of getting rid of and working up a situation where to banish foreign thoughts, but also there's something, even when you're talking about innocent thoughts, it's a very important thing in Hashkofes HaTorah to think positive. A person has to live with emunah and bitachon b'Hashem, that his faith is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the more that he believes that, and the more that he puts and places his trust in Hashem, the fact that he has these good positive thoughts, that in fact turns it into a reality. There's a well-known maaseh that a chosid who had a seriously sick son came and he visited the Tzemach Tzedek, and he said that the doctors held out no hope for the son. And the Rebbe replied with these words. He says, Tracht gut, wird sein gut, he said. Think good, it'll turn out to be good. That is an avoide. It's the way you're going to think. And the way the story goes, he leaves the Rebbe's room very uplifted, confident that Hashem would, in fact, cure his son. When he arrives home, he was told that the child already had taken a turn for the better, about just exactly at the time that he became convinced that Hashem would help him. And at that point, in matter of fact, things changed. Rav Schwab brings in his Sefer, Mayim Beis HaShoeva, which I would like just to mention, that the idea that Rav Schwab brings there in the Sefer is something that is mentioned a few hundred years before in Sifrei Chasidus and the Sefer Oyev Yisroel from the Apteruf. Basically, what they're both saying, that the word mamin, the word to believe, the meaning to have faith, emunah has two definitions. Emunah means to believe. Emunah also is from a lashon hamshocha, like we had in the Megillah not too long ago. By he oimein es hadasa, he raised her up. So the Yoyev Yisrael says, and again, and by the way, both say it on the same pasuk by the Mabul there. There's a Rashi that talks about that Noach did not enter the Teva until the last minute. Vayovei Noach al Teva mipnei mei hamabul. What does the pasuk write? Says Rashi, mamin veina mamin. He believed and he didn't believe. He believed and he didn't believe that a Mabul would come. What do you mean he believed and didn't believe? Noach was a tzaddik. What do you mean he didn't believe? So the Apteruf says, the more you believe in something, it's going to happen. And Noach would try with all his might to have a Kodesh Baruch Hu maybe change his mind, as it were. And maybe by less believing it, this itself would be a blocker and a hindrance of making it happen. So Noach worked on himself not to believe. Instead of working to have faith, in this case it would be more advantageous to have a little bit less emunah in order to be able to be mevatel de gezeirah. So the idea of emunah is, again, to believe. But if you believe, then what happens? The second definition. Emunah becomes loshen hamshocha, becomes dahi oimen es hadasa. The more you believe, the more you are mamshich. You turn it into reality, and in fact, you turn it into a truth, into a new metzias. So you can change things around by the more positive thoughts that you think, and of course this has to do with the way one believes, the stronger is emunah, thereby he thinks more positively, the more positively that he thinks, in fact, you will have the schus that it happens that way. So you want to take a look at the sheet, Rabbi Isai, over here, that we have here. Very important akudis, and we see this from all sides of the spectrum. We see it from whether it's the world of Chasidus, whether it's the world of Musar, any world that you turn to. But basically, the objectives of all the worlds are to be able to serve Hashem in the best possible way. And many, many of the principles are shared equally. The differences are much less than the things that are common. So let's take a look, first of all. You take a look, first of all, at Pasuk in Mishlei. You can't go better than that. Even have here sort of like an art scroll translation right underneath there, to be able to see clearly. The Pasuk says, it says, Shlomo Melech says, Mikol, he says, Mushmar Netzar Libecha, Ki Mimenu Toitzos Chaim, which means people understand that there are important things in the life that they have to guard. Ask a person, what is the most important thing? People have different answers. One person will say, it's my money. My money is the most important thing that I like to guard. A woman might say, a very special ring. That's very important to me, very sentimental. That's what I like to guard. Somebody may have a very important key that opens up something which is amazing. He's going to guard that key with his life because that's the key to his treasury. So Shlomo HaMelech says, from all the things that you're going to guard, the most important thing that you need to guard is your mind, is your machshava. Mikol mushmar, from anything that you're going to, right? That you're going to do shmirah. Of all the things that you understand that you want to guard, nitzoy libecho. Make sure that you are watching, you are guarding your machshavos. Why? Ki mimenu toitzos chaim. Because it is that which produces the results of life, is the machshava. Depends how one thinks. If things positive, if things negative, if he thinks things that are pure, if he thinks about things that are impure. So this is the Yisoid. The Yisoid is the Koyach of Machshava, and Shlomo Melech says, Mikol Mushmar, of anything that you guard, make sure that you guard your mind. To see how far the power of Machshava goes, let's take a look what Rav Dessler says in Michtav Meliyahu. We have here just the four lines of an essay. And he says there's a very interesting phenomenon, and we all have experienced it once or twice during our lifetime. And he says, Ki Yadua. It is well known, he says, let's say a person wants to get up 6 o'clock in the morning but doesn't have an alarm clock. If you think about it, right, enough times, think about it 5 times, 10 times, for some reason you'll wake up 6 o'clock. Can't explain it. The answer is because the power of the mind is sort of like computerize your system, turning that into a reality. As he points out, if a person would think many times before he goes to sleep, he's going to get up in a certain time, he'll get up. Even though, by the way, he doesn't have a specific reason, by the way, even if he does not even have a specific reason why, but he decides, you know, this is what I'm going to want to do. And he thinks about it many, many times. I want to get up at a particular time. Harei, what you see is, shechazoras machshova achas. The fact that you're going to repeat a machshova many times, pavim harbe, poyeles, and look what he uses, instinctivis. Not a Lashon Kodesh word. Instinctivis. Abeli hasoga shum tam. It just becomes part of your metzias, becomes part of your being. That's the koyach of the machshova. Your whole metzias, your whole behavior is being guided by that machshova. The machshova will control it. And you're going to wake up at that particular time. That is the koyach of machshova. Comes up Tzodek HaKoyen and tries to give us a little bit of etzes, how we are able to guard our machshovas from impure thoughts, from what we call machshova yizora, is from foreign machshovas, from foreign thoughts. So the Tzodek, first of all, we have to understand, where do they come from? What causes impure thoughts? The Tzodek, and this is in the Sefer Oyer Zeruah, and he says, ha'etzos, he says, l'machshova yizorois v'hirhurim. What are the etzes? In order to be able to be mevatel, he says, foreign machshovas is mitzvah sitzes utfilin. We find it's gula. It's gula to protect a person from foreign machshovas, machshovas that don't belong in his mind, is the mitzvah sitzes and tefillin. How do we see that? The Gemara tells us in Soite, what was the source? Where were we zoiche? Where were we zoiche to these two particular mitzvahs, the mitzvah tzitzis and the mitzvah tefillin? So the Gemara tells us in Soite Daf Yudzai, Bizchar imchut vatzroich nal. We know that Avraham Avinu refused to take the shawl, to take any of the gifts, or to take anything from the war, from Melech Sadoim, and the lotion that he used was, whether it is a shoestring, right? Whether it's even a shoestring, he says, or any type of a string, chut vatzroich nal, I'm not going to take anything. Because of using the lotion chut and tzroich nal, refusing these two, Chazal say, Zochu bono v'kodesh baruch hu rewarded his descendants, l'chut shel tcheles, the chut that Avraham Avinu was refusing to take, even a chut, even a thread, from Melech Sadoim, that chut turned into the mitzvah tcheles, a chut of tcheles. And the tzroich nal, the shoestring, as it were, the shoestring turns into the ritzuis, the straps of the tefillin. Very fascinating thing. What does this have to do with Avraham Avinu exactly? Tefillin, tzitzis, because of Avraham Avinu, therefore, we were rewarded, and we received, we were zeichet to these two mitzvahs. As a tzaddik, I want you to understand the following. Kishayrish kol, he says, hadimyoinois, he says, the root of all the imaginations that a person has, the root of one's imagination. What is the driving force that determines what kind of imagination? We have all kinds of imaginations. What is the driving force behind a person's imagination? Umachshoves oris, and foreign machshoves. It's hurak belev choymeid le'inyon ha'olam hazeh. If the fact is that we are steeped in olam hazeh, we are connected to tavas olam hazeh, we pursue tavas olam hazeh. If a person is pursuing tavas olam hazeh, that automatically controls his whole being, controls his mind, and as a result, this is what his mind thinks about, and as a result, it thinks about things which are very, very low. Olam hazeh goes very, very low. There's all different types of olam hazeh, going down to the lowest of the lowest. If a person is shkua, if a person is steeped in olam hazeh, if a person is involved in pursuing olam hazeh, it is that pursuit, it is that act of behavior that spurs and brings all the machshovei zoris. He points out further, and he says, "Aval hanokim is elegamre." In order to be completely pure, right, from this, kavrom avinu, shemedosoi, as we know, Avraham Avinu's mida was zichu choahavus vahatavus bilti l'Hashem levadoi. Avraham Avinu was free from all that. He was immune to all that. You know why? Because Avraham Avinu's love was not to olam hazeh. Avraham Avinu's love, Avraham Avinu's drive was to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avraham Avinu, of course, was a madrega. Avraham Avinu's madrega was that he was able to elevate himself, that what he found appealing to him was not olam hazeh. What was appealing to him is ahavas Hashem, the pursuit of the love of Hashem only. So Vishvilkach, being that Avraham Avinu had that midah, Avraham Avinu's ahava, and Avraham Avinu's taiva was all to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Bishilkach Zochu Bonov Lebeis Mitzvahs Elu Hashoimris Oisom Gamizeh. In other words, these two mitzvahs will protect the descendants of Rom Avinu from Achshava Zoris. They should have at least some ammunition against it. As he's going to explain why, this Gula of Tzitzis is, and this Gula of Tfilin is, that a person really who is Mekai Mitzvahs Tzitzis appropriately, a person who is Mekai Mitzvahs Tfilin appropriately, he will have this Gula that these two mitzvahs will protect him from foreign Machshavas. Why were we zeichet to that? Because Avraham Avinu was the paradigm of someone whose machshavos were pure. And therefore it is only right, explains the Tzaddik, what Chazal are telling us, Avraham Avinu lived a life of pure machshavos. Why? Because his taiva was to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His taiva was anti-Olam Hazeh. His ahava was to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His ahava was anti-Olam Hazeh. So at least we should have the wherewithal, the descendants of Avraham Avinu, at least we should be given the wherewithal to help us along a little bit, to be able to protect ourselves, to be a little bit closer to the Avodah of Avraham Avinu. And that, in fact, is inherent in Tzitzis and Tefillin, which will help a person protect himself, if you're interested in that. It doesn't work automatically. It's also an Avodah, as he explains. Because by Tzitzis, what does the Pozik say? The Tzitzis in the Furish, the Pozik says, Urisa Moisoi, if you observe the Tzitzis and you concentrate on the Tzitzis, then it says, Veloi Sosuru, you will not follow Achrei Levavchem v'Achrei Einechem. Rav Tzaddik points out, the Loshin V'loi Sasura means you will not follow. It does not mean that Mashma Loi She'yeoker Hirhur Melev Legamre. It does not mean that a person will not have any bad thoughts. It doesn't say that. It means you will not pursue it. You will not be controlled by it. You will not follow it. If it doesn't exist, then of course you're not going to follow it. It means, no. We might be normal people that we may have all types of thoughts, but at least we'll have the power to get rid of it. It's not so easy to get rid of it. But if we have is gula, such as the mitzvah tzitzis, the koyach of mitzvah tzitzis is that v'loi sasura, we shouldn't be controlled by our thoughts of that which we think and that which we see. Shem'utev b'levushal tzir shemayim, because when you put the tzitzis on, you are surrounded. You are surrounded and you are insulated with a levush, with a protective coating of your shemayim, hamazkiroi b'choleis, that keeps reminding him every moment, lebilti losur achre hirhurim zorim. It's like an oira makif. It's like an invisible, right? It's an invisible light that as Kodesh Baruch Hu sends down certain rays that surround you to protect you from the outside influences. Mashem Yisborach Shemakifoi Uma Oiroi Lizkoir Mashem Yisborach Ubatoi Rosoi. So here again, at least we have a little bit more of an Eitzah. We have Tefillin and we have Tzitzis. So we put on Tefillin and we wear tzitzis, but to realize, urisa moisoi, it's not just to wear tefillin, you put on tzitzis and you forget about it all day. The person should have this awareness that he's surrounded with this mitzvah tzitzis. And the understanding that what the mitzvah tzitzis can do for him. And that should be his tefillah, that should be his bakosha, that should be his goal. To be able to reap the rewards which is inherent in the potential of the mitzvah tzitzis, as well as in the mitzvah tefillin as well. Now, when we talk about the machshav of a person, about the thoughts of a person, comes Akir the Mashgiach upon the Bishop Chatzkel Levishtein, the Sefer Or Yecheskel, and look what he says. He says, the truth is, Hahergil, he says, habit, the Habilbul, and confusion. He says, Einoi Nachlas Yechidim Bovad. Don't think that only certain individuals have this problem. It's a universal problem. You have confusion, all types of things come into your mind. Habit. It's not just certain people are plagued or afflicted by habit. Everyone is afflicted by habit. When you talk about habit, habit is something that invades everybody. Everybody according to his habit. Depends what his habits are. But there are habits. Everybody has habits. And he points out, a person is a worldly person, so he is consumed by his daily work. His business occupies his mind. And somehow he lives in the world of business, he just doesn't think about anything else. So he's consumed in that world. Hatorud basokov, a ish olam, a worldly person. In a moitzes man, as a result, he has no time for meditation, for anything important. And why? Because out of habit he is consumed in what he is doing. In a moitzes man, the machshava oides takhliso heruchnius. His habit does not allow him to take some time to tear himself away and take stock of his spiritual life. Biglala Soko, because of his business, Veterdosoi, and he's so busy, Lepanososoi, making his panosa. So Reb Chatzkel, but the truth is, this is not only, he says, a business person. Even a Ben Torah also hasn't got time to think. You know why? He says, Afa Ben Torah Hamasubi Bilmuda. Look what the Pachatskal says. Here you can see Hamashgiach Hanoved Hashem. You'll say, if somebody's sitting and learning all day, what could be wrong? That's the best thing. What kind of a flaw can you find in someone who is a Ben Torah? He says, there could be a flaw there too. You know why? Because there's Afa Ben Torah Hamasubi Bilmuda. Even a Ben Torah. So now his mind is occupied in Torah, which on the one hand is good. It's gewaldic. But Torud Bahasmodosoi, he's so busy with his hasmode, with his studying, the himoinas mitoi, and that prevents him. Machshavos oides kol matzovei harochni. It's possible to have a Ben Torah. He's busy learning Bovikame 24 hours a day, and he bichlal is not aware where his spiritual standing is. How is his avodas Hashem? How is his avodah ben odom lachaveroi? How is his avodah ben odom lamokim? How is his davening going to look like? How is his life of chesed? Bechlal doesn't even think about these things. His mind is occupied in Shor Shinogeh Chesaporo, Ramachlet Pora Bachamor, or whatever Mesechta he is learning, Cheskes Abatim. And Bechlal, he does not take stock. He's not even aware where his bar is, where he's standing in his Ruchnizig life. He's learning all day, but he does not give himself 5 minutes to think. Via Halten Ruchniz, where he's up to. Says Bechatzkel, don't get me wrong, he says. He should be learning. That's the appropriate thing for him to do. However, that's not the tachlis. Avol harei ein hasmodosoi tachlis komasov. But the hasmode, he says, that's not the tachlis. The chayev bidvorim noisofim, his mechuyev in additional things kahasogat yirishemayim. His avodah should be to attain at the end of the day, his avodah should be as a ben Torah to reach someplace. What is he trying to reach? Another five blav gemara. That's not the tachlis. It's important to know as much as you can do. But what's the tachlis? Tachlis is to be a better Yerushalayim, a bigger Yerushalayim, a greater Oyved Hashem. And therefore he says, V'yisoidos elu, and these fundamental, he says, these fundamental concepts, ain't oisoisam, he's not doing it. The masmid, the great masmid as he is, he's not doing this. He doesn't take any time out to meditate and to think and to take stock of himself. Ki toru, because he is busy, the merutzus hasmadosoi. So on the one hand, it's an uncanny thing. It's a funny thing. You have a parallel between a business person who b'chol has no shaykhist to anything. His whole mind all day is busy making money. And then you have on the other side of the spring, you have the Ben Torah, Gevaldige Ben Torah. And yet they both have it tzad hashoveh. No one is involved, really, in his life of Avodas Hashem. Land, he's always in business, about learning, yeah. But in his Avodas Hashem, no one is involved. Not this one and not that one, he says. The Eloi Penai Lishokalin doesn't have even a moment, he says, doesn't take the time, he's able to recognize what the purpose of his life is. That's the one thing he said, that he went through, said 5 or 6 years, he said, into yeshiva. He said, not once did I hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name mentioned. It wasn't mentioned. Abaya's name, Rava's name, he says, Rajba's name, written. The Baisha's name was the Machla mentioned. Somebody said that many times, it says, when prices go up in a supermarket, it brings people to religion, because people go and say, oh my God, they say. This is a psashtikalinya. It's at least it's something that Rabbi Shlomo is more of you to think about him. But when we go here, Rabbi Shlomo, we go a little further. And we see, again, an amazing thing. Again, I'm not a scientist, but you don't have to be a scientist. Here is a Haggadah Eidos from the Ramban. Ramban, by the way, is Neman Oleinu, which can be trusted quite well, one of the Gedolei Rishonim, whatever he says. But in addition, of course, to being the great Ramban as he was also a physician. So he had a shaykhus to science as well, a great shaykhus. And look what Ramban says. And this is brought down, by the way, in the Ksovim of the Altar from Kelm. The Ksovim of the Altar from Kelm in the Yonim of Purim, by the way. And this is in the middle of a shmooz. And the Altar from Kelm says as follows. And I tell you, this is a mind-boggling thing. It's a mind-boggling thing. We might remember the story in Parshas Chukas, where we find that people were bitten by the snakes. They were attacked by the snakes, and as a result, many people died, which is the natural thing that would happen when someone is bitten by a snake, by venomous snakes. And we find the Torah telling us in Parshas Chukas, Baruch Hu says to Moshe, right? Asay l'cho nachash and nachoshes, right? Take and make this carpus. If you see Moshe al neis, put it up high on a pole. Right, v'hoyo kol hanoshuch. Anyone who was bitten by a snake, v'ro oisoi, would look at this nachash hanachoshes v'choy, and he would live. All right, so we have a situation: someone being bitten by a snake, and the whole idea of how a Kadosh Baruch Hu said, what to do and how to cure it. Fine. Regarding this incident, Ramban makes the following comments. Vayoytze midvarav. What emerges, he says, from the words of the Ramban, ki noshuch al yidei kelef shoyte. The pasuk happens to be talking about being bitten by a snake. As a result, Ramban uses that to bring us the following yidia. It's yidua, he says, if someone is bitten by a wild dog, a kelef shoyte, dangerous dog. So, of course, when someone is bitten by a wild dog, the effect on the person, on the victim, is a tremendous pachat, tremendous fear that he has because of the fact that he was attacked by this vicious dog, and in fact he was even bitten by it. You can imagine the impression of the mind of the victim throughout this whole experience. What are the after effects of that impression? What are the after effects of the impression of the tremendous fear of the victim realizing he's being attacked by a vicious dog, very well life-threatening, and he was bitten? Says Ramban, if someone is bitten by this wild dog, machmas chozek hatzir, because of the strong imagination, the strong image that a person has, right, because of the dog, mipachad hakelef, due to the pachad of the kelef, shenoshchoy, that bit him, v'nitztayer b'nafshoy demus kelef. So as a result, it became, as it was, carved out within himself. It's as if in his being, the power of the machshove, the power of the mind, being occupied with this wild dog, so the tzura, the image of the dog, becomes carved into his being. What does that mean? What does it mean that the image of the dog becomes carved into his being? Look what he says. V'lochein, therefore, botku harayfim. He seems to be telling us a fact. He's not telling us this is going to happen. He says, doctor is tested. I don't think we have these kind of sensitive instruments even today, according to what he's saying here. Doctors tested the urine of that person, and they were able to recognize a tzura of a kelev in the urine. Why? Because the tzura of the dog became carved into his being and had an effect on what he put out. Look at this. I mean, ilamol aloy ra'inu, you would not believe it. He says, "V'lachem botku harayfim u'motzu b'hasheten shaloi, the mus klovim ketanim." Says more than one. The mus klovim ketanim. Now, this is not something that is actually there physical, because if you take the urine and you sift it, you put it through a sifter, there's nothing going to come out or remain on top. So it's not able to sift it. The tzura is there. It's the image that is there. It's not something that's tangible. And if you go and you sift it through, there's nothing going to come up on the other side, as if there was something physically there. But go back, after you sifted it, go back, look in the water that came out on the other side, look there again, and you're going to find it again. It's an unbelievable thing. The Altav in Kelon has Chayra now. Altav in Kelon has Chayra in the Shemuz. He says, now, if anybody tells you that it doesn't matter what you think, it does not have any effect. Imagine this is in your physical life. Now make a kal v'chomer where your whole life, machshava, is something which is really spiritual. What terrible, devastating effects it can have on your spiritual life, in your ruchnitzige life. V'nira mizeh. What you see from here is inyan niflamoid. We see something which is such an incredible thing, b'koiches ha-nefesh. Ki machshava amuka b'nefesh, if someone has, right? If someone has a deep machshava, chozak ma'oid b'poil, Uboiras, it creates kemat biri chadosha. It created klovim ketanim. It created klovim ketanim in the system. This thing's not part of the system normally, but the koich of the machshava that he had, the koich of the imagination, the impression of that machshava, that fear that he had, created in his system these klovim ketanim, which means it creates a biri chadosha. He says it is something that's not something that, in a spiritual world, it's something that the gashmis, the eyes can see. Kedimus haklovim hanire gam le'ayin hagashmis. He says, v'chol zman shatziyurim v'admiyoy sanal. As long as the person still keeps these thoughts, right, and these imaginations, they are carved and etched out in the person, who biskona gedoyle, says, l'haski l'fon of shem kelev. As a matter of fact, this person, by the way, who is still consumed with that fear, don't even mention the name of the dog to him. Because that'll even increase the effects of the kelev within him, and so on and so forth. And he says further, we go, now, if in the same way that terrible physical, right, terrible physical machshavas, if it can cause, if it can cause changes in the physical body, as we just shown, siyurim roim, it can show, as we saw, these bad images, kidmusa manal, these klovim ketan and his little dogs, lesaki nafshi, to the point that put him in danger. So the opposite is also true. What happens if you have positive machshavas? What happens if you have holy machshavas? You have machshavas kedoshes, it'll turn you into a kodesh. If you see the negative effects that a machshava can have, then also learn from here the positive effects that a machshava can have. So when a person does not waste his mind, right? If a person uses his mind, he guards his mind, and he's shomer on his machshavas, to the extent that he thinks about godless Hashem, he thinks about gevuras habore, he thinks about what can I do to make this world a little bit better, how can I make a contribution in the world, his mind is occupied with machshavas toivos, can you imagine how it elevates the person and actually creates with him a bria chadosha? Just like on the negative side he created a bria chadosha of klovim ketanim, here the opposite side. It creates in him a bria chadosha of toiv, a bria chadosha, becomes a kodosh, becomes a holy person to the power of his machshavas kedoshes. Now I think that we should take a look, just wonderful words, take a look from the Tfer Shlema. We have here number 6 on top, which is Reb Shlomo Radomsker. And he says it in one of the Torahs in the Yontif of Purim. And we were reminded in the Megillah, when the Megillah says the following. We find that Esther, after Haman was already destroyed, he was no longer alive, we find Esther appealing again to Achashverosh and pleading. What is she pleading? Haman is gone. What is she saying? She's saying as follows. V'matzotechein lefonov. If I find favor, Esther is saying to Achashverosh, v'kosher adover lifna melech, v'toiv ani be'enov. In other words, if I am anything of significance in your eyes, says Esther, yekosev lohoshev v'zasfar machsheves Haman. Make sure to overturn the machshava of Haman. What do you mean machshava of Haman? What does it mean? Overturn the machshava. Haman is gone. He's not here anymore. What kind of Haman is that to talk about? He's dead already. And then again, v'chein. It says further. It says, v'voyo lifna melech. And when she came before the king, Omar im ha-sefer yoshuv machshav toihara. Again, we're talking about removing the bad machshava of Haman. Emphasis again on machshava. To remove machshav toihara asher choshev al yudim. Freidet fer shloime hine yesh lehovin maze inyan machsheves Haman l'roli Yisrael. What are we talking about so much about the machshav of Haman? What is this emphasis here about the machshav of Haman? Asher oleho biksha esel hashiva, to overturn the machshav. His machshav is gone. He's gone. His machshav is gone. He's gone. Halei kvar neherig Haman v'nimach shemoi v'zichroi min oretz. He's already where he is. He's finished. It says, that it turned around, that now the Yidden had the Shlita. Right? They had the upper hand over their enemies. So the only thing they should have done is what? Is merely to overturn the books, to change the books. But Machshava's Haman, the Machshava of Haman, is not to talk about anymore. Haman is out of the picture. That should be erased, right? To get rid of the Sfarim. Umali Machshavta, who cares about his Machshava now? Why do we mention his Machshava? Veloma Tirgaz Iker al Machshavta, why are we so concerned about Haman's Machshava? So Tfer Shlomo says, and we can appreciate so much based upon what we're learning here from the Ramak and all of these various Sfarim, but the power of Machshava. Here a new Pshat in the Megillah here. Close enough still, still in Chodesh Yudah here. It has a Shaykhus too. Chazal say, this is a very, very interesting Chazal. Chazal say that the machshava of an avera, right, are more damaging than an avera. Now the question is, what does that mean? Machshava and avera is more damaging than avera. So in other words, if somebody does an avera, and then somebody thinks of an avera, so the thinker who only thought, is that worse than someone who actually did? What does it mean here? Hura avera koshim avera. Chazal seem to be saying that the machshava, right, the machshava of doing an avera is worse than doing the actual avera. So Tfer Shlomo develops the following thought. He says, when a person does an avera, there are two parts to that. There's the act and there's the machshava. By the way, without having a machshava, you wouldn't have done the act. What brought you to do the act? Because you want to do it. So when you're doing an avera, the truth is the avera is a combination of two parts. The Avera, every time a person does an Avera, it's a combination of two parts. There's a Chelik HaMachshava, the thought process, right? That's directing me, that's telling me how and when and how much, what I'm doing, and then the act itself. So now, after I've done the Avera, thank the Rabbeinu Shloilem, he gave us a way out. What's the way out? You can do tshuva, right? Every yid can repent. So now I'm going to do tshuva. So there's a Seder of tshuva. There's ways of how a person is able to do tshuva. When I do tshuva, I also have to do tshuva on both chalokim. I have to do tshuva on the act, on the maisa avera, and I have to do tshuva also on the machshova. Says the Tiferet Shloime, the tshuva on the act is easier to wipe out than the machshova, because machshova is something that's not tangible and it leaves an imprint, it becomes part of your being. The act is something that's outside of your body, done with your body, with your hands, right? But the act itself is something which is not within. It's being done, mibachutz. Machshava is something which is mibifnim. And that leaves a reishim. Many times we know something is dirty on the floor, right? Then you wipe it. As much as you wipe it, there's always a reishim. Furniture happens many times, always there. You spill something, right? You try to wipe it, but it's stubborn. You find there's always some reishim, there's something left. There's something that there's some sim in there. You can't somehow clean it perfectly. You have to find some very, very special detergent or something to be able to wipe it clean. Hirhurei Aveira, Koshim Aveira means that when a person did an Aveira and now he wants to do tshuva, which chelik leaves a deeper impression on his being? Is the machelik amachshava leaves a greater, deeper impression than the Maisa Aveira. The Maisa Aveira, you can do tshuva one way or another. But to get rid of the machshava, the devastating effects of the machshava, that needs greater purging. That's what means hirhura aveira koshim aveira. It's more difficult to get rid of the reishim, of the after effect. Let's take a look at the Tiferet Shloim. Let's see his words. It says Tiferet Shloim, and he says as follows. He says vaperishu. Says the meaning is the hineyapo pishe yesh tikunim uchuve baveira. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us ways of rectifying. There's rectifying, there's tikkunim, and there's tshuva and avera. Lahom is hamazik hanivra. By the way, when you do an avera, there's also a mazik. You create negative influences. You create negative aspects in the world. That's the things we can't see. That's beside the point. But when you do tshuva, you can able to wipe out those things. You can be mevatel, you can destroy all of those mazikim, all these negative forces that your avera caused. You can get rid of it. Kinoi de biksovim, as is written in the Sfarim. Mekomoikum, however, hine hapgam, however, that which was tainted as a result of the machshava, hapgam shenoyle bavera mimachsheves odom rachmono l'slam, hine ze einoy botul, that does not become bottled that easily. Al yidei kein, he says, ulesaken machshava, and therefore, if you want to be misaken the machshava as well, lahoitzi ze mimachshavtoi, to get rid of it completely. That needs extra work. To get rid of the devastating effect of the consequences of the machshava is more difficult. It's more kosher. It's more kosher. It's more difficult to rectify that than the effects of the aveir itself. The after effect of the machshava. Machshava, that leaves a reshim. Mekomokim, he says, Rishimoy, he goes further, he says, Kemoy sheyesh bekedusha. He says many times by Kedusha also. Sha'afopi says, Sha'kedusha nistalekis. Sometimes the person, Kedusha leaves him, but there still is a reishim of the Kedusha. Mekomokim, Rishimoy, Nishim, Memeno, there's a reishim of the Kedusha left. There's still some trace of it, right? So the same way, Kein lahavdol yesh ba'atumah. Tum also. Even if you get rid of Tumah, but there's still going to be a trace left. By Machshava, the regular Avodas Hatshuva still might leave a trace. A trace of the effects, the negative effects of your machshova. V'zehu, that's what it means here. Hurei avera koshem avera. She'af apishu avera atzmo. V'hamazik nizbatl. Even though as far as the avera itself and the mazik, the negative forces become bottle. Mekol mokayim ha'hirur nishar b'machshova. The here remains. And based upon that, based upon this concept, he says that's the meaning of the pasuk in Yeshayah. It says Yazoiv Rosha Darkoi. On the one hand, it says the Rosha should change his ways. He should abandon his old ways. Yazoy Rosh Adakoy, and what else does it say? The Ish Oven Machshavoysof. And the evil person, he should abandon his machshavos. It talks about two things. It talks about Yazav Darkoy, right? Leave your derech, change your ways, and it also talks about machshavos. What, you know what it means? It means achar ha'avera. He says, achar ha'avera, it means after a person has done an avera. And it's the zehu v'sashel b'mtzulas yom kalchatoysom. He said, you already accomplished everything. All your averas are thrown into the yam, as it were, just a moshel. You threw everything into the sea. She is batel koyach hamazik memeno. Ach mevak shemoy, that we ask further. Shlo yizochru v'lo yipogdu v'lo yalu alev li'oylam. That's the hemshech of the posik. V'lo yalu alev. What does it mean, l'yalu alev? Rotzaloymer shlo yilonu oy chum hirum averit. There should not be any after effect that will, again, continue to influence us. Because the roishim, due to the machshava, that still is with us. So therefore we are mispala later and we say that when we're trying to do tshuva on the maise, when we're trying to do tshuva on the machshava, we should be zoyche shle yalu alev li'oylam. That it should not remain in our hearts at all. No trace of it, to get rid of it. Says, now that Tver Shloim, let's go back to Esther Amalka. Haman HaRosha, of course, had a gzeira written up. But not only had a gzeira written up, it was all due to a machshava roh. It was due to, because he had this terrible machshava. He had a terrible machshava to destroy Klal Yisrael. Tver Shloim says something incredible. That even if you are able to destroy the physical gzeira that's written in the book, but possibly the influence of the machshava that Haman had may still be looming in the air. And that might still cause future damage. What we needed now is to remove even the trace of Haman's machshava. It's an incredible thing. Not only our own machshavas can have effects on us, but a machshava roh of a rosha could also affect the world. And even the rosha is no longer here, his machshavas are sort of like floating in the air. The machshava of Haman is flowing in the air, because the traces, as we said, to getting rid of the machshava is not that easy. It says that Tver Shloim v'zehu, that's what it means. Shoy avoidas Esther. Esther is the Shechina. Bevoy lifna melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Esther is being mispalo. Esther is being mispalo before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lahavir is machshavas Haman. Why? Ki bechinas klipas Haman. Because the tomb of Haman, of course, that's the Iker Pagam. Ve'avo pishekva nevatla haklipo. Even though the actual tomb of Haman is gone, because he was already killed, she was still concerned yet his machshavah shouldn't taint Klal Yisrael. It's shaykh, you're talking that the machshavah is royas of a rosho, could influence and penetrate the minds of innocent minds of Klal Yisrael and have negative effects. Because his machshavas are floating, and they were directed to the minds of the Yidden, and therefore they could be affected. The Iker Hashmira says it first. Loime Torah Kolodom. Every person has to have the machshavtoi. That's the main part to be concerned about. The Maisa is not the difficult part. You can hold back. A person can restrain. Protecting your mind, that's something that's not so easy at all. That's where the Iker emphasis. That's where the Iker Avoide. The Iker Avoide is, he says, Liestomid Heichal Kedusha. Your mind is a sanctuary. That's what it is. The Neshama, you know what the Neshama rests? The Neshama rests in the mind. Somebody asks you, where in your body is the Neshama? How do we say in the L'Shem Yichud? In the morning we put on tefillin. Say, HaNeshama, where? Shebemoichi. That's where the Neshama is. So can you imagine? The Neshama, which is the Chelik Elikai Mimal, which is a direct chelik, a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is within each and every one of us. And where is it housed? I'm giving the neshama a place of residence. I am giving, everyone is giving. You're giving from yourself a residence, a makom for the neshama. Where are you taking it in? You're taking it in to where your machshava is. If your machshava is a makom tumah, what kind of a makom is this? It's like the Ben Melech coming to visit you. Why the Ben Melech? How about the Melech himself? And you're putting him somewhere in the barn. Putting someone in the garbage dump. That's the place, that's where you give lodging for a king, for royalty. The neshama is a chelik of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's resting in your mind. So what kind of a place, what kind of a room? This is kind of a guest room. This is how you are mekabel ponim, the neshama. This is the mokim. This is the lodging for the neshama. The neshama has to be in your mind, which should be a heichal kedusha. It has to be a heichal kedusha. It has to be a holy sanctuary. The toiv and amokim that promotes toiv and is only good. So the ad gives us Rabbi Isai Shtikaleitzer. This is, as we saw, this is the Madrega Shnia of the Toimer Devoir of the Ramak. his conclusion running off also to Sheva Brachis. Let me just mention just a few more minutes here. There was a letter of Haskoma. There's a letter of a Haskoma that was written on the Sefer. It's called the Kuntres Eitzes Vahadrochis. It was written by the Mashgiach of Manchester, Rabbi Yehuda Siegel. Wrote a letter of Haskoma. It was a Sefer, guidelines, Eitzes, advice. Now, by this Hashem, which everybody needs, we can always use a little bit more advice and hadroche and guidance in Avodas Hashem. So the Sefer is called Kuntres Eitzos V'Hadroches, it's called. And there's a Haskoma there for the Mashgiach, the Yudah Siegel from Manchester. So I'm just going to quote you a few lines. A person such as himself, a person such as him, is a great Avod Hashem. I remember many, many years ago when Rav Sholom Shvadron Zatzal was sitting at our Shabbos table, and the talk in the Shemuz came, we were talking about Rehuda Manchester. He was a tremendous, if you want to call it a chosid, tremendous, he was subordinate to the Mashgiach of Manchester. He was a tremendous fan, if you want to use that lotion. Sholem, as a matter of fact, used to promote him amazingly. He considered him to be his Rebbe. And when the Mashgiach of Manchester was Nifter, he says, I have to have a new Rebbe. When he was alive, he considered him to be his Rebbe, the Yehuda Siegel. So I remember, I think I brought up the topic just to talk to him, because I knew that he was close to him. Just asking something about him, about what he thinks about the Mashgiach of Manchester, what his opinion is. So just instinctively, on the moment, he said to me, a third of the world for sure is standing on his chus, the Aloshin says. A third of the world, a drittel vel zichet, this is the way he said, the Aloshin says. A third of the world in his chus, no question about it, he says. For sure is standing within his chus. That was the Lashon of Reb Sholem. Anyway, so the Mashgiach, he writes there in the Haskoma, he writes the following. He says, V'nochutz moed lodas, because you're talking about giving advice to people, moed Hashem. And then we take stock of ourselves and we say, we don't live up, we're quite far away from what the goals should be. And that many, many times just puts us in a matzav of yush, in a matzav of despair. And we begin to indict ourselves to a point that sometimes we just can't climb out of it. And we say, it's no use, it's no point. We're never going to amount to anywhere close to what we're talking about. So maybe we might as well give up before we start. So the Mashgiach writes, it's important you should know Mashikosav b'sefer derech b'kudecho. V'zelu shoiner. Da yedidi. These are the words of the derech b'kudecho. Da yedidi, I want you to know. Ki ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu bo b'trunye im b'riyosav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not come to challenge you and to hold you accountable for things that you can't handle. Which means, if we all are aware of what our weaknesses are, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows it as well. He expects us to try to do what we can, but he also recognizes the extent of our challenges. And therefore, V'cholil olachshoyf al haboyre. And therefore says the Derech B'Kodecho, don't think for one moment, he says, don't think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish you if any impure thought came in your mind. You may be punished, he says, if you're not going to try to get rid of it. But the fact that it fell into your mind, he says, you're not going to be punished for that, he says. Look with the lotion. For Cholila lachshoy v'al abayre. Cholila to think and accuse Hashem. This is the lotion. She yachshoy v'lo eliyovo, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will consider it an abayre. Ma shenoyful b'machshavtoy b'pesapisam. Something all of a sudden, right? A certain thought comes in your mind. So you say, okay, I'm finished. Now I have 10 years Gehenna for me. Says ki kol zehuli yonsei. That part was an oinus. Oinus of manapatra. The problem is what you do with that machshavah. That's something else. So now a person has an obligation to try to get rid of it. Sometimes it's harder, sometimes easier. It's okay. So Boshem sees that as well. Boshem will recognize if you can or you can't. Boshem also recognizes if you really want to get rid of it or you don't want to get rid of it. Boshem knows all that. All that taking consideration. But the idea of a machshavah falling into your mind just like that, as if, you know, beyond your control. Oh, so you're not doomed for that, he says. He says, Cholil olachshev, he says. And he's saying this in the Sefer Eitzes. That's what the Mashgiach wanted to know that. Because the Sefer that's called Eitzes v'Hadroches, that person, right, is willing to allow himself to grow in Avodas Hashem. And yet he knows that five times a day a certain machshavah just falls into his mind, and he thinks that means it's all over. So he's telling you, no, it's not all over. It's not all over. Because things could happen like that. That's not what the Baishim is going to punish you for. That's not because Baruch Hu is going to take you on the Cheshvan. The Cheshvan is going to be later on, he says, to see, at least, are you attempting? You have tzar out of that. How would you do it if you were able to do it? Or what are you trying to get to to purify your mind. Vo'iker, says the Mashgiach now. Vo'iker says rak lahasiach datoy memeno. That is your avodah. You can't always prevent things from coming into your mind. There's no lock on your mind. You know, as the Sfar Makdoshim say, they say the Chiddush Harim says, Rashi says it in Parsha Tzav, Ein Tzav Eloloshin Ziris Miyadu L'Doiris. Om Reb Shimon, what's the Loshin again, you remember? The Yoyser Tzorach HaKosov L'Zaris Tzav. Right? You need Ziris. You know when you need Ziris? B'mokim Sheyesh Chesorin Kis. In other words, when something costs money, people need to be motivated. They're not so ready to spend money on a mitzvah sometimes. Right? So B'Yoyser Tzorach HaKosov L'Zaris, right? We need to be Mizuris. We need encouragement, whether it's Chesorin Kis. So the Chiddush Harim said, "Bederech Chasidus." See, every one of our senses we have control over. If you don't want to talk, close your mouth. As a matter of fact, we know because Baruch Hu created two shaymrim for dibur. It's your lips and it's your teeth. Two shaymrim. Your tongue is behind two shaymrim. There are two barriers before you open your mouth. There are two shaymrim that shows how difficult it is to keep your mouth shut. There are two shaymrim. By the way, this again I heard from Reb Sholem. It's just interesting. Reb Sholem says that Reb Yitzchak Blazer, Reb Yitzchak Petterburger, the great Bala Musar, he says when he arrived from Lithuania to Eretz Yisrael, there was a big couple of Sponim in Yafo, that's where the boat came. And there was a Gedoyl Yisrael there in Choshev Eden. And Reb Yitzchak Blazer, Reb Yitzchak Petterburger was a great goyin. He was not just a Bala Musar, he was a great goyin. He was a sefer called Pri Yitzchak, Shalos Yeshuvas. Tremendous Bal Kishrin. But it was known that he would refrain from speaking publicly simply because he was a miut hadibur person. Chodesh Elul, b'klal, he wouldn't speak at all. Chodesh Elul wouldn't speak. He'd be tainis dibur. He wouldn't speak in Chodesh Elul. Wouldn't speak. That's it. So here he's coming. The world had the opportunity. Now this is the Kabbalah Sponim. Such an Odom Choshev. The opportunity to hear a few words from such an Odom Choshev, a renowned person, great Bal Musar, a great Goyim. So they started, you know, to keep pushing him and pressuring him. He said, please, Reb Yitzchak, Reb Yitzchak, say a few words, say how grateful, say something. He said, listen, I'm going to tell you something. He says, in order not to be nichshol in dibur, so that he gave the tongue, he gave two shaymrin, the lips and the teeth. I'm an old person, he says, I don't have any teeth, and on one shaymr I don't rely on. That's Reb Sholem's rendition of what Reb Yitzchak said. So this is what we're learning about here. The ikar is to be mesiach das. The ikar is to try to work against those machshavos, to try to get rid of them, he says. But ultimately, he says, Kadosh Baruch Hu knows our situation, and Baruch Hu gives us credit at least for trying. Trying is also very big. May not succeed all the time, but the yicholus and the kaych and the effort that we put in. They come a little bit closer to the miles and the madregas of the tzaddikim, and will be zeichet to all of the schar, los and lovet.